This is A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com, the show that helps you grow your business and enrich your life. Now, here's the host of A Sharp Outlook, Angela Sharp.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to A Sharp Outlook here on TalkZone.com. We are the program you want to listen to because we provide you with information, best practices, and thought-provoking discussions with industry experts. We discuss current topics that impact businesses, health, communities, families, and even your children. We also, at the last segment of our show, provide a segment called Ask Me, where you get the opportunity to call in and ask me, the host, or our guest, any questions that you might want answered over today's topic. And so I will give you that number after that last segment, or just before the last segment, and we will begin to answer your questions. So please stay on your line and listen to our program. Today we have a great program about something that is of great interest, and I know all of us need to have this pertinent information. We never know when a natural disaster is going to hit us. We never know when there's going to be a storm or an earthquake or a hurricane or, you know, whatever the natural disaster might be, fires here in California. And those disasters can drastically interrupt your lives. And the one thing that can help you to be able to survive or to endure that disaster is to be prepared, and to be prepared as much as you possibly can. So one of the things I would recommend, that if you just move to a new location like I have, or you've never gone and contacted your emergency management offices, I would suggest that you do that so that they can let you know what types of potential hazards are in that particular local area. And also, you can maybe ask them, how can I prepare? Because that staff is generally very knowledgeable, and they can help you identify not only the hazards, but what kind of preparations you might want to have, you know. And then when you get that information, you need to share that information with your family members. Have drills, have fire drills, or whatever the situation might be, tornado, you know, drills, letting everyone in the family know where they need to go for cover. So always try to be prepared, and you want to update that information. But also, you're going to want to have a survival kit, a disaster kit that has pertinent things in there so that you are able to survive for at least 72 hours, and that's a pretty long time. So you're going to want to have a lot of supplies there, and you're going to want to also, you know, understand that you're not the only one in the disaster, and it might take a long time for you to get your electricity or gas or water or telephones working again. So preparedness is probably the best thing that you need to hear about today so that you are able to be ready and you can weather that storm and the disaster doesn't impact you as drastically as it might. And today we have a guest from the Small Business Office of Disaster Assistance, James Rivera. And since 2006, he has led several efforts to expand the agency's disaster operations. Those changes include overseeing the introduction of an online disaster loan application, which after the disaster, you're going to want to know what, you know, services are available and loans are available. And, you know, this program is there to assist you. More efficient loan underwriting processes and computer technology upgrades, which resulted in quicker loan disbursements to homeowners, renters, and businesses affected by disaster. Rivera started his SBA career in 1989 as a loan specialist at the Disaster Field Office in Fort Worth, Texas. In that job, he processed home, business, physical, and economic injury disaster loans. In 1994, he relocated to Washington, D.C. to work at SBA's Disaster Operations Headquarters. Before joining the SBA, Rivera worked as a commercial loan officer at several large banks in Texas. His lending experience includes marketing, negotiating, underwriting, and closing transactions in commercial real estate. Rivera was the assistant administrator for Equal Opportunity equal employment opportunity, and civil rights compliance. He served as the principal agency advisor on civil rights policies and was responsible for administering, strengthening, and improving the agency's record on civil rights and equal opportunity. Before joining EEO and CRC in 2001, he was the Deputy Associate Administrator for the Office of Disaster Assistance, where he was involved in managing all aspects of SBA's disaster loan-making programs. And from 2002 to 2006, he was the Associate Administrator in the Office of Financial Assistance. In 2012, April 2012, Rivera received a Presidential Distinguished Rank Award for his leadership in improving SBA's disaster loan approval and disbursement processes in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Rivera is a graduate of Texas Tech University, holding a bachelor's degree in business administration and finance economics. And James, it is my pleasure to invite you to A-Sharp Outlook, and how are you today?
Hi, Angela. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, tell us about the disaster assistance program itself. Can you, you know, give us some information as to what exactly it is?
The Small Business Administration, we've had the Disaster Assistance Program since we were created in 1953. And what we do is we provide direct loans to homeowners, businesses, renters, private nonprofits. You know, we provide a direct loan program. And our program's not limited just to small businesses. And a lot of people think the Small Business Administration, but we actually make direct loans to homeowners, and we work part of the response with the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Okay. Can you comment on the prevalence of disaster planning in small businesses?
Yes. Recent disasters, for example, like Superstorm Sandy that happened a couple years ago, you know, or even it's a small disaster where you have flooding in a basement, or you have some type of disaster that impacts your small business. We see these impacts on the local economy, and then force small business owners to take, you know, a more serious approach to disaster preparedness. And, you know, while a lot of these business owners are aware of the concept of business continuity and knowing the basics of putting a disaster plan together, you know, very few, you know, are thoroughly prepared. We have several studies. For example, there's a Wells Fargo Gallup Small Business Index survey that was done in July of 2011, where it reflected only 31% of the small business owners said their business was extremely or very prepared for a disaster. You know, 46% of them said they were somewhat unprepared. And, you know, according to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, 2011 and 2012 were the two most extreme years for record for devastation regarding weather events causing more than $170 billion in damage. What does that mean to a business? It means downtime in the aftermath of extreme weather, which can cost as much as about $3,000 per day for a small business, according to the Institute for Business and Home Safety. And recently, in a study that was done by Agility Recovery, who we're a partner with in 2011, 90% of the small business owners said they spent less than one day per month preparing and maintaining their business continuity plan. So basically, disaster preparedness is very important, especially for a small business.
Yeah, I could understand that. And that's, you know, in the future, I want to have someone, you know, to talk about, you know, putting those plans together, because you start losing records. You start losing, you know, your equipment. You know, if you don't have, you know, backups that are taken off site, you may not be able to recover any of your information, you know, documents, legal. There's just so much that is involved in businesses being prepared and even sharing with their employees what they need to be doing when disasters are coming, you know, to be prepared and what kind of records, you know, because generally you don't want to go in and have to redo the work that you did before, because you've now lost a lot of significant revenue, and I'm not sure how the government happens to help make up for some of those losses, but it can be devastating, and you know, probably some of these businesses can't recoup and, you know, go back into business. Does that happen sometimes because they're not prepared?
You know, that does happen often, where you'll see a small business, and we call it the tipping point. The tipping point is there's a natural disaster that occurs, and it results in them not being able to recover from that specific disaster event. Unfortunately, we see that often.
So what should a small business owner do to develop a disaster plan if they don't have one? I mean, if they don't have the knowledge about creating it, what can they do?
Okay, so there's several excellent online resources available. Most of them are no cost to help business owners get started on building an emergency plan. We often say when somebody develops a business plan that they should have as part of an annex or an appendix, an emergency plan. For example, there's ready.gov. The website is www.ready.gov. That's a site that gives tips on emergency planning for businesses and families. The American Red Cross also has a program called the Ready Rating Program, and it's www.readyrating.com, so it's readyrating.com. And it's a self-assessment tool business owners can use to demonstrate their current level of preparedness. Mm-hmm. Once the company's risk and needs have been determined, the business owner can go through the steps outlined in the Ready Rating site to develop a preparedness plan. We also, here at SBA, the Small Business Administration, we partner with Agility Recovery. Agility is a firm that provides disaster planning to small businesses. They offer monthly webinars providing business continuity strategies. The free webinars include a presentation given by an expert on topics ranging from tips on using, for example, social media as a component for disaster preparedness. We've had webinars on getting ready for winter weather emergencies and how to plan for power interruptions and those kind of disasters that occur. There's also Agility's website. It's www.preparemybusiness.org. And if you want, you can go online and look at the webinars. They have an archive list of previous webinars, and they'll give you tips on how to develop your own disaster plan.
Well, you know, I'll have to admit, shame on me. I just moved here to California from South Dakota, and last year we had a major snowstorm that was so devastating. I think there were 75,000 head of cattle that got killed, and the power was out for 12 days, and I can say I wasn't prepared because I just thought, you know, I live here in the hills and different things, and, you know, the trees are to protect me. I lost about 15 trees in my yard, and I just wasn't prepared. I didn't have backup water. I didn't have batteries. I didn't have candles. I just wasn't ready because I just never thought about it. But, you know, since that event, it's like, yes, I should have everything that I need, have a bag packed, have all my goods in that bag. And I'll tell you, once you've been through a disaster, it really changes your thoughts as to how you think about it. Because, you know, you have this thought, oh, it can never happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. And you just ignore the fact that you need to have certain emergency kits in your home, and you need to have supplies, and you definitely need to have water. Water was probably the biggest issue that we had, was not having, you know, enough good, clean drinking water. We even got to the point where we were letting the snow drain and get water that way. And it was just very trying. I must say, it was very difficult for me, and I had children there, and you know, there were some emotions that really began to swell because of the anxiety of how long it was taking, you know, for them to get the power back on. So this is very good information. James, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we want to discuss even more about creating that plan and being prepared for disasters, because you never know when one is going to hit your place.
Back to more of A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here's Angela Sharp.
Thank you for listening to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. And today we are talking about a topic that would be of great interest to you. If a disaster hits, are you prepared? And today we have James Rivera here with the Assistance Program for Disaster, and he's giving us some very valuable information of how to be prepared in the event of a disaster. And so, James, just before the break, we were talking about small businesses and being prepared and maybe not being prepared. And what do you think they perceive are the barriers or obstacles to creating a plan, and how can that be overcome?
Thank you, Angela. It's interesting, your comments right prior to the commercial about it won't happen to me, it'll never happen to me. That's very, very common experience that we see across the small businesses that we talk to after the disaster. Despite the widespread and the unusual nature of the recent disaster activity that we've had, whether it's a wildfire or a hurricane, a flood or an earthquake, the thought process is it just won't happen to me. And, so small businesses need to be really attuned to having a disaster plan, only because they don't have the resources of a larger corporation. They're more vulnerable when it comes to being, they're forced to be shut down because of a disaster. And if they're not prepared from that perspective, it really impacts, the cash flow that they have and that they've generated. And they don't have the money to be, put into a business continuity plan. There's a lot of resistance, only because, when you're developing your business continuity plan, it really isn't about generating more cash flow or growing your business. It's a preventative measure. But from our perspective, the cost of not having a plan does cause a strain in the event you run into that unfortunate circumstance where you are in a disaster.
Absolutely. And I want to say to all those entrepreneurs, startups, new businesses, existing businesses, please listen up. It's better to be prepared than to be out of business. So preparedness is what we're talking about, and we want to hear more. So what are the benefits of having a plan, James?
So when you have a solid plan in place, your business stands a greater chance of recovering quickly in the aftermath of a big disaster. On the other hand, when the company upstairs from your operation, if they experience a sprinkler malfunction and they leave a foot of water on your floor, recovery assistance from SBA may not be available, but if you have a good business continuity plan, at least you'll have be able to be prepared for, something in the event. If it's something as small as, a sprinkler system malfunctioning that floods your business, or if it's a bigger mega disaster where it's a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake that causes a whole community to shut down.
Yeah, because like I mentioned, that storm we had in South Dakota, not only were the residential areas without power, the businesses were out, without power. So their freezers were out, the refrigerators were out, you couldn't pump gas. I mean, there was just so much devastation there, and just all of the food that had to be thrown away, and, all of that was just money gone. There's no way you can replace it. I mean, yeah, you'll buy new products, but the profit on what you had in the store itself, it's gone. And you have to. And then it was just, the spoilage and, different things, and pipes burst, and there was water, everywhere. And it was just a really devastating time for a lot of businesses and a lot of homes during that storm. And who would think, snow falling could do that much damage? It was so much snow, so quickly, and so extremely cold. Trees were snapping, and I didn't think a tree could just, have so much weight on it. It would just fall over, and boom, it's over. But it did. So you just can't imagine, the type of disaster that can be, can happen. So what are the key components of a good disaster preparedness plan?
So there's a couple steps. First we would suggest that you assess your critical business functions, such as basic management of the business, serving your clients, your financial operations, the IT functions, and, determining how long you can withstand an interruption to those critical functions. Also, what about your critical employees? A good example is if you have a IT person that handles all of your computers, if they have to spend, you know, several days away from the office cleaning up their own home after a big storm, you know, how does that impact your own data operations for your own business that you're running?
Mm-hmm.
There's also, we strongly urge businesses, small businesses, to prepare your supply chain. I mean, calculate the cost of business interruption for one day, you know, whether it's a week, a month, you know, 6 months. And once you've done that, you can make a plan to check out, you know, any type of insurance options that are available, whether it's business interruption insurance or, you know, those type of options to look at. Another idea is to build cash reserves that allow you to for your company to operate during you know, the recovery phase, whether it's, you know, a day, a week, a month, as we mentioned earlier. And then if you can develop professional relationships with alternative vendors just in case your primary contractor can't service your needs. We had a good example where we, during Superstorm Sandy, we had a chocolate company that was selling on the retail side. Well, their vendor wasn't able to provide them with the raw goods from that perspective. So they actually had to go look at other vendors that could provide that type of, you know, product for them. So, you know, you may place an occasional order with them just to see if, you know, if they fit your model and if they fit your needs. Especially, you know, it's a good option to have in the event you need to go to an alternative supplier during an emergency. And it's also good to find out who your key suppliers are and do they have a recovery plan in place. I mean, so for example, that one chocolate company that went down, you know, all those products that they couldn't provide, you know, it impacted the supply chain as you go throughout, you know, throughout the process. Most small businesses don't think about, you know, who's providing them with product, and they need to see, you know, what kind of recovery plans are in place in the event that they can't get the product from their own suppliers.
Oh, yeah, that is very, very important, you know, looking down, because a disaster might be happening in another part of the country and totally impact, you know, all of the products that you generally, you know, are selling to your customers. So, yeah, that's a very, very, very good thought. What should businesses do to protect their IT functions and their external communications? Because that is really important.
So there's some basic steps. I mean, some simple things is, you know, from the perspective of backing up your data, you know, make backup copies of your critical data, you know, like financial records, employee information, client property and inventory records, and store it in a secure offsite location. We suggest fireproof safe deposit boxes. Mm-hmm. Make it part of your routine and regularly back up your files, whether it's, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, and then test your backup plan regularly. And you may have a situation where you need to check and maintain your staff contact list and make sure that your employee staff contact list is current, and always keep important documents like property insurance, financial records, employee contact list. Have them ready to take with you in the event you need to evacuate because of disaster strikes. And there's other items you can do. For example, you can create a communication plan, crisis communication plan, to make sure that your staff, your customers, your vendors, your contractors, everybody that you do business with, they know what to do and what's going on after the impact of a disaster. I actually have a phone tree that I keep handy in my wallet of my senior staff. So in the event that, you know, the IT world goes down and the phone systems are still working, you know, we can call each other. I mean, as basic as that. And even in the environment where there's, you know, the web and the internet, those sometimes do go down. And so there needs to be alternative approaches on how you can communicate with each other. You can also establish an email alert system. To make sure that your primary and secondary email addresses for your employees and everybody that you want to do business with, that you have a good email alert system in place. This is something that we really suggest, especially in the advent, you know, you know about this, your Facebook page, your Twitter accounts, so you can provide real-time updates to the community so they still know that you're in business. In the old days, prior to social media, we would say put a poster on your storefront to say that you're back in business. It's even probably more effective to put a picture of that, you know, of that poster in front of your storefront that says you're back in business and post it as a Facebook or, you know, post it on your Twitter so everybody knows that you're back in business, because people don't know, you know, that you're up and open again until you actually go out and you know, post it on the social media side. And then obviously, if most small business owners are the spokesperson for in a disaster, but if you have the opportunity to have an employee that can also help you with managing the internal and external media communications, that's also helpful, because you just run across a situation where the more your staff knows what the plan is and what to say in the event that there's a storm, that look, I'll be the re-grand opening after this disaster is going to be on October the 1st, and if you can brand that, you'll get a lot more traffic coming back your way once everybody has an understanding that you're back in business.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, most of the time, like I said, as an emergency, and I can attest to it, people are not going to be driving by every day just to see whether or not you have your lights on. So, yeah, absolutely, communicating with them and letting them know that you are open is going to be very, very critical, so that they're aware that things are getting back to normal and that life is getting ready to be okay again. Because it really is, I can't express because how I felt during that time, and it really causes a lot of anxiety. The communities come together. The hotels were, you know, offering free, you know, hotel rooms during that time. And I think all of those hotels that were offering free, you know, overnight stays or weekend stays, like I said, the power was off in some of the homes, you know, for 12 days. And the temperature was, you know, 20, 30 below zero. With the wind chill. And so you can't be surviving outside in a tent or something. You really need to, you know, be in a place where you can be warm and that you can be protected. So it was very nice that all the other businesses did chip in, and sharing that information was good, because I wouldn't have known if somebody hadn't let me know in the neighborhood that the, you know, the Ramada down the street was letting people stay for free, or they were letting them stay at discounted rates. And so we just always thank, you know, all of the community businesses that are still able to be open, and assist those that are, you know, in need at the time. We're getting ready to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about your disaster plan and also get into what assistance is available.
Welcome back to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here again is Angela Sharp.
Hello, and thank you for listening to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. And we are the place to tune in when you want to get valuable information that impacts your lives, your businesses, your families. And today we are talking about a topic that definitely can have a major impact on your life, and that is a disaster. No one knows when a disaster can happen, and when it does happen, are you prepared? And so today we're talking with James Rivera, and James, we've been talking about having that preparedness plan. So in developing a disaster preparedness plan, what should a business owner place at the top of their to-do list?
So there's a couple of items, Angela. First, we would suggest that every business owner review their insurance coverage. You need to make sure that you have enough insurance coverage to recover when a disaster strikes. I mean, that's a key component. So, you know, contact your insurance agent to find out if, you know, your policy is adequate to meet your needs, and seek their, you know, expertise to determine what is the right coverage for your situation. You know, suggest doing a cost-benefit analysis. You know, how much can I afford to lose? And it's a good idea to know, you know, the value of your property. Also, for businesses, if you want to consider business interruption insurance, what which, you know, compensates for lost income and if the company has to shut down after disaster. So being forced to close your doors after a power outage or being cut off from your clients because the roads are washed out, it's a major cause of economic injury to small businesses after disaster. So those two elements, you know, contact your insurance agent and also consider what insurance you need to have and what can you afford to have, and also the business interruption element.
You know, that is very important, and I have a personal comment about that because I wasn't prepared, and it wasn't a natural disaster, but it was a head-on collision, and I was incapacitated for almost a year, and I didn't get proper insurance for the business to steal, and I had a my own consulting, accounting and consulting firm at the time, and being the prime owner and the prime business, principal business person there, for me to be unable to walk and unable to work for a year, I can't express the disaster that that created for my personal life. And so that should be checked not only for the things and the items, but also the principal of that business. Make certain that you have the right amount of coverage for yourself, especially if you are the key person in that business. I can't say that enough because you don't want to experience what I experienced because I wasn't prepared. So I'm saying be prepared. Okay, enough of that. What else should business owners pay attention to, James?
So this is really Disaster Preparedness 101. Something as basic as that many people forget to do, it's, you know, to assemble an emergency supply kit. You know, basic things as far as the kit should include important records, insurance policies, inventory of your fixed assets, you know, so maybe a list of your contracts, phone numbers, email addresses for employees, vendors, customers, local first responders, and medical facilities, just so you have something handy so you don't have to scramble, you know, while it, you know, after a disaster occurs. Also, have cash on hand for emergencies. Often once the power goes down, guess what? The ATM machines don't work. So it's always nice to have, you know, some level of cash, you know, in your emergency supply kit, whether it's at home or whether it's at your business. You know, another, you know, emergency kit items include office supplies, first aid supplies, water, as you mentioned earlier, and non-perishable food items. They can last you, we suggest 3 days. You mentioned that you were in that snowstorm for 10 or 11 or 12 days. So if you have flashlights, battery, you know, battery-operated radio, plastic trash bags, you know, those kind of items that, you know, it's, sound like a Boy Scout here, but you know, that helps you be prepared. And also, if you can plan for an alternative location, so in the event you do need to relocate, maybe there's an opportunity for you to think about this and think through this process. And in the event your business is forced to shut down, can you operate temporarily while, you know, that storefront facility is being repaired? Can you operate at a different location at a different storefront so you can continue to keep that cash flow going? And, you know, most importantly, don't forget to exercise the plan. It's good to put a preparedness plan together, but you really need to exercise it, you know, whether it's monthly, quarterly, or annually, just to test it with your staff. And if you find any weaknesses in the plan, it's an opportunity to update it and just continue just, you know, to put that good practice in place.
Well, as we understand human nature, there are some pessimists out there. So give us an idea or an example of how a disaster planning that was in place actually protected a business. So, do you have an example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have several examples. Every year for the last, I think it's been 15, 20 years, the Small Business Administration, we recognize the small business. We call it the Phoenix Award that we provide at our National Small Business Week. And this is an example of one Phoenix Award winner where we had a physical plant that had a staff of about 400 employees that were located in a floodplain, and they were impacted by the disaster. So subsequent to the disaster, they elevated their IT equipment storage and they established redundant facilities. Well, guess what? They got hit with another disaster. And when they were hit with the subsequent disaster, they didn't have the same amount of damage that they had. They were able to protect their equipment because they had taken some flood mitigation practices where they elevated the equipment. And you know, it's simple stuff as far as like elevating your utilities, and you know, often businesses won't need to rely on that equipment being elevated, or they won't get the benefit of it until, you know, unfortunately there's another disaster. So they're, if they're close to a floodplain where there's a possibility of recurring floods, and we suggest they look at, you know, the facility and what can they, what inventory can be elevated or what can be done to prevent like-kind disaster from having the same type of damage.
Well, we've talked a lot about being prepared, but in the event there's still damage, let's talk about maybe some assistance that's out there. You're a part of the program that provides us disaster assistance. So what are some of the common misconceptions about this disaster assistance program?
So many individuals, homeowners, especially renters and businesses, they're surprised to learn that following a declared disaster, the U.S. Small Business Administration, we provide low-interest long-term loans to homeowners and renters, as well as businesses of all sizes, private nonprofit organizations, and we actually make a direct loan to that business or that homeowner or that renter. And the program's not limited just to small businesses. I mean, we have the authority to you know, cast the net across across a disaster footprint.
And I think, and that is a misconception, because I didn't realize that those loans were available to homeowners. I didn't have any damage to my home, particularly during that snowstorm, but I know there were neighbors that did. So I'm hoping that they were informed, or they at least knew someone to contact to try to get some assistance, especially, you know, in the event that they did have major damage to their farms and to their homes and different things like that. Are there any limits to these loans?
So what we do is we actually follow the Federal Emergency Management Agency and presidential declarations, and we have our own authority at the agency level, so we can also declare disasters. But we really focus with the local media, and we really reach out to the local media. In reference to loan limits, if you're a renter, and this is for uninsured losses, we can make a loan up to $40,000. It's a low-interest long-term loan. For homeowners, we can make a loan up to $200,000. To repair or replace the damage for your real estate, and we can make an additional $40,000 to repair or replace any personal property. On the business side, we can make loans up to $2 million to repair or replace business assets, that were damaged, your building, your inventory, your furniture and fixtures, machinery, equipment, and other business needs. And we can also increase the loan up to 20% for what we call mitigating measures, and that's for example, to elevate your inventory or to floodproof your property in the event to prevent like kind of disaster damage from occurring again if you're in the unfortunate situation where there's a subsequent disaster. And we also provide a working capital loan program. It's called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, and we can provide a loan up to $2 million in conjunction with a business loan to meet your fixed operating ongoing expenses until your business returns to normal. So a good example is, for example, if you're a convenience store or if you're any type of storefront next to a river and the river knocks the bridge down, we'll provide a working capital loan to keep that business in business and pay their fixed operating expenses during the period of time that bridge gets rebuilt. Even though you may not suffer any sort of physical damage, we can provide assistance for economic injury.
Well, that's pretty interesting news. I'll tell you, I wasn't aware that was happening and that there was a loan available, like I said, for people that were renters or homeowners. I pretty much didn't realize it at all, to be honest about it. I'm wondering, you know, if this has something to do with does there have to be a declaration, you know, to that there's been a natural disaster by like the governor of the state or something like that for these loans to be able to take place?
Yes, there does. And that's a really good question that we get, Angela. One of the triggers that we have is in the event of a presidential declaration, the governor will make the request. So it starts with the local emergency managers. So in the event you're in a disaster, communicate with the firemen, with the policemen in your community, and they'll get the information to the local emergency managers who will provide that information to the governor's office. And the governors communicate with the president's office and with FEMA and with SBA. And we'll go out and we'll do a preliminary damage assessment. Now, we have regulatory criteria. So if there's 25 homes or businesses which sustain 40% or more uninsured loss, we can have an agency declaration so we can provide a loan immediately. For presidential declarations, there's higher criteria. So in the event that it doesn't meet the president's criteria, it automatically will move to SBA's criteria. But, you know, for example, we can provide a loan up to 30 years. And then we provide standard deferments that can, you know, we'll start the first payment 5 months from the date of the note. There's some features that we have where we differ from a traditional bank in that we are able to make loans. We don't have loan to coverage ratios, so we'll take best available collateral. We'll make an unsecured loan up to $25,000, so we have some flexibility as far as if we need to take any collateral. Our loan funds can be used to relocate. So if you're in that floodplain and you want to move out, we can provide you with assistance from that perspective.
We're going to take a quick break because I want the audience to hear even more about this. So we'll be back in a second to talk more about the assistance that's available during a disaster.
You're listening to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here again is Angela Sharp.
Welcome back to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com, and we are getting ready to begin our Ask Me segment, and our number is 888-463-6748. Again, that is 888-463-6748. Today we are talking about disasters and being prepared for disasters. And we have our guest here, James Rivera, who is discussing, just before the break, he was discussing loans that are available to you in the event of a disaster, even for renters. And I know there are a lot of people out there that's unaware of this. And so, James, you were finishing up that topic about the loans that are available, the types of loans, the terms of the loans. So please tell our audience more about this.
Okay, so just to quick recap. I mean, we can make loans. They're low interest loans. They generally run anywhere from 2 to 4% interest rate. We can make loans up to 30 years. We keep the loan payment affordable. I mean, that's our objective. We'll start the first payment generally 5 months after the date of the note to give the borrower time to prepare, you know, for the increased expense. We don't decline anybody because they lack collateral. We take best available collateral, whether in situations whether it's a second or third lien position behind their home. But we're just looking for whatever collateral is available, unlike a traditional bank that will want to be in a first lien position and will have loan-to-value ratios. We don't follow any of that traditional criteria. We can make an unsecured loan up to $25,000 in a presidential declaration. We can provide funds to use to relocate in the event you want to move out of that floodplain that you've been living in and you continue to get flooded year after year. We can provide 20% of the loan for mitigating measures to help prevent like-kind disaster from damaging your facility again. And we can provide refinancing in some cases where we can refinance existing liens or mortgages. So there's a lot of flexibility that we have in the program. We ask everybody to apply. There's no cost to apply. And if we offer you a loan commitment, you don't have to take the loan commitment, but at least you have a good understanding of where you stand financially. And it's another tool in the tool chest that you can use in the event, you know, you have an option with SBA.
And so you should just contact the SBA Disaster Assistance Program. Is that on the website, or how would they contact you?
So we have several touch points. Probably if you just want to have just general information, you can contact SBA at www.sba.gov. We have a disaster page. It's www.sba.gov/disaster. And we have a call center that handles any sort of disaster question. It's 1-800-659-2955. It's 1-800-659-2955. So if you ever have any type of questions, I mean, we have call agents that are ready to answer any kind of questions you may have regarding disaster assistance.
Okay. So what are some advantages of this program as opposed to applying for a traditional bank loan? You went through, you know, the low cost, the 30 years. Are there any other additional benefits of getting this loan through the SBA?
Right. So, if you take a big step back, the reason the federal government's involved, we're not here to compete with the private sector. Obviously, if you have a good relationship with your bank, we suggest you continue, you check with your bank to see what financing is available. But we tend to be the most aggressive lender in town. I mean, our mission is to try to make as many loans as we possibly can in these disaster ravaged communities where we can, you know, try to stabilize the tax base and try to help as many small businesses so that community can get back to normal as soon as possible.
So I don't want to point fingers, but I am a little confused because I know there's been some hurricanes and we're still seeing some of those areas ravaged, and it doesn't look like, you know, the buildings are going up or things are happening. Can you talk about maybe what some of the delays could be?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of factors in the rebuilding process. I mean, for example, Superstorm Sandy, there were 8 states along the East Coast that were impacted by that horrible hurricane that happened a couple of years ago. SBA, we ended up making about $2.5 billion worth of loans to about 90,000 small businesses and homeowners from that perspective. So when you go back and you have devastation, there's a rebuilding process. It does take time. But we are very patient. We will work with the homeowners and the small business owners, especially as we go through. You know, we suggest that you go ahead and apply, even if you haven't settled with your insurance company, and we can work through that rebuilding process. You know, we'll make serial disbursements. So as you go through, you know, 25% of the rebuilding's done, 50%, 75%, we'll work with you as you go through that process. It takes time. Unfortunately, in many situations, some businesses, because they reach their tipping point, don't come back. So that's a reality. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's an opportunity for individuals in a disaster footprint to apply, and hopefully they have insurance coverage. And if they don't have insurance coverage, whatever is uninsured or underinsured, SBA can provide a loan, a long-term loan, to try to get you back to as close to normal as you possibly can pre-disaster.
Now, as far as the infrastructure, does your program have anything to do with, like, the infrastructure, putting the roads back in, the sewage systems, all of those things, because those are damaged also? Your program, are they involved in that too?
No, we work closely with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. We're on the individual assistance side, which includes homeowners and businesses. Public assistance is handled on FEMA handles the public assistance side or the mitigation side. So public assistance would be your roads, bridges, and the infrastructure. So the community level would work. FEMA would work with the communities in that area to get that rebuilt.
Well, James, I know we have gotten a lot of information, and I know our listeners have become informed, and they understand they need to get their kits put together, and that they need to be prepared, and they need to test those, you know, plans on a regular basis. Is there anything else we need to tell our audience today?
Just be prepared, and think about adding that disaster plan as a supplement to your regular business plan, and exercise it. And in the event you do need the Small Business Administration, the Disaster Loan Program, we'll try to do everything we can to approve a loan to you, whether you're a homeowner, business, or renter. But preparedness is very important, and we always try to advocate it. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about disaster planning and disaster preparedness.
Well, one of the reasons, like I said, I just moved here from South Dakota to California. There was a disaster in South Dakota that I experienced, and now I'm seeing the fires here in California, and I'm looking at the dryness and, you know, anticipating there might be some flooding or mudslides. So I thought it was very important to get out information, you know, to the different listeners in the area and wherever they are around the world. We have listeners all over. And being prepared is really important because we don't know what kind of disaster can occur. I would like to find out, because there are, when I was doing some research, there's so many different companies providing different types of kits. On the website, do you provide an actual list of what should be in those kits?
Yes, we do. And we also provide links to ready.gov, readyrating.com, and preparemybusiness.org. So those three links will be in our website. And so if you want to get in, you know, some specific information, each one of those different links can provide you with additional information for building, you know, the emergency plan or the kit.
Great. Because I know I started getting confused because there were different, you know, different ones were saying different things that you needed. And I didn't know, well, maybe in this area, you know, you need something different than someone else. So probably contacting your emergency services in your local area will provide you with a lot of information also. James Rivera, thank you so much for being on our show today. And I know everyone is better informed, and they're going to be better equipped just because you were on the show today.
Thank you, Angela.
Well, next week we are going to be going in and talking about business and how to go in and excel your business so that your marketing works and you can become the company that you want to become. I'm hoping that you do pay very strong attention to our program today, because disasters can create devastation in your life, and we want you to succeed, and we want you to be prepared, and we don't want your business to be ending because of that lack of preparation. Tune in next week, next Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Central Time on TalkZone.com.